Okay, welcome to November 17th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. And one of the reasons why I do this show is not because I'm a historian. In fact, I find history quite boring, to be honest with you. I do this because I'm a proud patriotic American. And hopefully you're listening because you are also one as well. Don't forget to check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson and let me know what you think about today's show, because it's just not as much fun without you. Your comments and questions are always welcome. I assembled this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're looking to move to the area, or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So yeah, check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. And now let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flag if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts. And begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Booyah, America! And now on to today's headlines. The Siege of Knoxville begins at Campbell's Station. Plus, I'll talk about the legend of the Leaning Tower of Niles in Illinois. Gary Erickson invents the Cliff Bar. And Gingerbread Lane goes on display in New York City. All right, so now here I go. 1863, Siege of Knoxville begins at Campbell's Station. Union Major General Ambrose Burnside and the Department of the Ohio Troops v. Lieutenant General James Longstreet's Army of the Tennessee. The result? Union victory. Longstreet, with two divisions and about 5,000 cavalry, was recently victorious against the Union Army in Chattanooga. Longstreet and Burnside, a.k.a. Sideburns, both realized the key to victory in Knoxville would be whoever got there first. And no, just because Burnside had long sideburns doesn't mean you can call Longstreet Street Long. Because he wasn't. Anyway, the race was on as both generals headed towards Campbell's Station, now Farragut. Longstreet wanted to get there first and hold the station, which would keep Burnside from reaching Knoxville to safety and forcing Burnside to fight outside his already built earthworks. Burnside won the race on this rainy November 16th by a mere 15 minutes, which proved crucial to the attack. The Yankees won not only the battle on this day, but the Knoxville campaign as well. Burnside sent Brigadier General William Sanders of the U.S. Cavalry to hold off the rebels, while Burnside's men reinforced the earthworks, but Sanders was killed on November 18th by sniper fire. The Knoxville campaign would continue in Fort Saunders on November 29th, and finally end at Bean Station on December 14th. To be continued. 2015. The Niles Village in Illinois purchases the Leaning Tower. Yes, there's a Leaning Tower, Pisa style, in the city of Niles, Illinois. It was built in the 1930s by a businessman named Robert Ilg. He built a large water park for his employees that featured swimming pools and a cabana. And rather than ruining the scenery with a giant, ugly water tank, he covered it with a tower that leans and kind of looks like the architect behind it got his license from a Cracker Jack box. Yet it's brilliant, as it's half the size of the Leaning Tower of Pisa itself. In the 1960s, one of Ilg's descendants donated part of the park to the local YMCA, and then in 1991, the city of Niles got together with the city of Pisa in Italy and formed a sister city relationship. Those are crazy Americans! In 2014, it was estimated that repairs needed to the tower would exceed around $600,000, so the village bought it from the YMCA with a favor in return for renovating it. The board coughed up $550,000, and the rehaul began. So, if you're in the town of Niles, go ahead and check it out. If you're not, I probably wouldn't go too far out of my way. It's not like it's going to Vegas or anything. 1990. Gary Erickson invents the Cliff Bar after following the White Road on the Epiphany Ride. On a bike ride through a 75-mile excursion through the California Bay Area, Erickson would realize that the Red Road is predictable, a known entity, safe and conservative. But the White Road, ha ha, just the opposite. It is the road less traveled. It is the unknown entity. Unpredictable. There may be danger and hardship along the way. But along with this hardship or danger, there is often reward. The reward is a sense of accomplishment. The joy and the beauty of the journey along the road less traveled. After the bike ride, Gary began making Clif Bars in his mother's kitchen. He named it after his father, Clifford, who encouraged Gary to live his passion. Since the bars they ate on this fateful day in 1990 tasted like dirt and really didn't give them the energy they needed, Gary and his wife Kit studied nutrition to figure out how to make a real energy bar. So there you have it. In 1999, they launched the Luna Bar, which is marketed to women bike riders and rock climbers. And in 2000, Gary turned down a $120 million offer to sell the company, keeping it in the fam. If you work for the company, you can expect to eat a bar every day and do some exercises in the company gym, which features rock climbing and yoga and dance studios, along with an employee stock ownership program for 20%. Very cool. Nowadays, cruising through his early 60s, Gary looks back at the White Road, knowing his bar was ranked number one on Forbes Breakaway Brands of 2009. That's amazing. I've lived in California my whole life, both northern and southern. I know at least a dozen people who make their own homemade energy bars, and I don't see any of them on Forbes' list. Hashtag just saying. 2015, Gingerbread Lane goes on display in New York City. John Lovitz began experimenting with gingerbread communities since the mid-90s when he first became a chef. In 2013, he built 157 gingerbread houses. The next year, 1,040. Yes, he was on his way, and the following year, he made the world's largest gingerbread lane with over 1,100 buildings in John's Village, complete with streets, cars, and ice skating rink with a giant Rockefeller-type Christmas tree. He makes it in his apartment and constructs the village on site. 682 pounds of gingerbread, 793 pounds of candy, and 4,000 pounds of royal icing. Yes, his neighbors all agree his apartment smells delicious. He puts it on display during Christmas at the New York Hall of Science, and after the holidays, Lovitz simply gives the houses away. And trust me, people line up to take them. Some folks take them home and put shellac on them. That royal icing is rock hard, as we all know, since we all tried it every year as kids. Of course, in my case, as an adult. So I'm not sure what exactly happens to the rest of it. Nonetheless, John Lovitz, everybody, helping to make the holidays even more enjoyable than they already are. And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for November 17th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, as well as the Facebook page, and let me know what you thought about today's ep. For instance, Civil War buffs. Anything you care to add to that story on Campbell Station? What about the Leaning Tower of Niles? How far would you go out of your way to visit that place? So yeah, let me know what your thoughts are on that and so much more. You can also check out some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on the website. Good luck with that. And be sure to check out tomorrow's program. I'll talk about the mass suicide at Jonestown. Plus, we'll wish a happy birthday to George Gallup, as well as football historical news with the New England Pats. So don't miss that. So until tomorrow, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you then.